Hey y'all, I'm Danny, and this is Heard. Hey y'all, welcome back to Heard the Podcast. I'm your host Danny, and you can find Heard the Podcast on all podcast streaming platforms. And you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Heard the Podcast, H-E-R-D the Podcast. We're on YouTube, H-E-R apostrophe D the Podcast. Like, share, tell a friend. Okay, well, I'm joined today by a very, very special guest, Miss Brown Sugar Productions.
What's up?
Yeah. Where can they find you at, Miss Brown Sugar?
Ooh, you can find me on Instagram at Brown Sugar P-R-O-D underscore, and you can visit my website, brownsugarprod.com.
Okay, website, okay. can people send beats or send vocals to you, or how do you get people, how do you find people to feature on your projects?
Yeah, sure, for sure. You can definitely DM me. That's how most of my work, you know, happens, through DM, or you can put it in like a request through my website.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. All right, so thank you for joining Heard the Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Are you happy?
I am.
Okay, so with all of our guests, we like to do an icebreaker, like a nice game. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen the podcast, but, you know, we play like a little this or that with, like, you know, song edition. So I'm going to do the same with you. Mm-hmm. So for this one, right, since you're a producer and you have your latest project, what's your project title?
Trapped in the Days, Volume 2.
Trapped in the Days, Volume 2 is a wonderful project. It's my fave project of hers right now. I have on my block on repeat. I love that song. So since you're a producer, it's always so hard for me to get these songs together because I love music and I just like, I'm going to do everyone justice and just like pick the right things to like, you know, match up. So we're going to do this or that. And we're going to do it, with producers, like known producers. My favorite producers, Missy Elliott, Timbaland, Pharrell, you know, those things. I'm going to pair up some songs for you to choose from. And yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
So we're gonna do it. God, I'm so nervous. So the first song is this. This is 1 Minute Man by Missy Elliott featuring Ludacris. Okay, that one or this one.
Already. 1 Minute Man.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
It's hard, but I don't know. It's the feel of it for me. It's the way it makes me feel.
Okay.
Versus that one.
Okay.
Okay. I love them both though. But yeah.
Does it bring you back? Does it like unlock a memory for you?
Somewhat, because I was definitely a child when those came out.
Mm-hmm. And you had no business repeating them damn songs.
At all.
And this, of course, majority of this album was produced by Pharrell, produced and written by Pharrell. So that's Rock Your Body by Justin Timberlake. So it's that song or this one.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to introduce to you
Rock Your Body.
He's a friend of mine.
Because I remember when that came out, and I remember that it's that feel. Again, it's just the feel for me.
Rock Your Body.
Yes.
It's Senorita for me, because I love the breakdown. I love the bridge. I'm a sucker for a bridge. I love a good bridge. Mm.
Okay,
One in a Million by, of course, Aaliyah, written by Missy. I think it was produced by Timbaland.
Yeah,
I think. Mm-hmm. So that one or this one.
Girl, why did you do that?
Oh, here you go. Yeah, pick one. Ooh. Gotta pick one.
Wait, that's called Rock My Boat, right?
It was One in a Million or Rock the Boat.
Rock the Boat, yeah. Rock the Boat.
Rock the Boat over One in a Million?
That was hard.
That's your final answer?
That was hard.
So you picking Rock the Boat over One in a Million?
Rock the Boat. Rock the Boat.
Okay. 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 All right. So next one is this one. Our favorite. Our favorite. He is?
Yes.
He's
on my bucket
list. He is? Ooh, that'll be so dope. Sexy. Okay. Front and by Pharrell featuring Jay-Z. And you know, Pharrell and Jay-Z, they had a real good run. They had a real good run. To pick a song against this one was really hard for me, knowing that Jay-Z and Pharrell had a really good run. But fronting or this one?
You can't roll a blunt to this one. You gotta light a J.
This is the one right here.
You gotta puff a J on this one.
This is the one right here.
You can't even drink Cristal on this one.
Oh my God. What? That vibe is crazy.
So contagious. So what? What'd you get?
Yeah, that one.
Over fronting?
Over fronting.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It was that easy?
It was that easy.
Really? Okay, I thought you would pick fronting. Okay. So
it's that beat for me, man. See, I'm all about a good feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, tapping into making people feel good through the music. Like, even when the beat come on, it's automatically like, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why. Mm-hmm. That's why I chose that one.
Okay. Okay, so this is the last round. So this one.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge. My milkshake brings
milkshake by Khalees. Or this one, I'm gonna just play it, but I'm gonna explain later. So Milkshake by Khalees or this one.
Both
produced by Pharrell, by the way. I think Milkshake was produced by the Neptunes, right? Or Pharrell.
Yeah, I think that was
so
Neptunes.
Milkshake was the Neptunes, and then this one was Pharrell. It might have been the Neptunes as well. Let me check. Hold on. Because Spotify has the credits. Yeah, the Neptunes did Holla Back Girl and Milkshake.
Yeah. Yep. I knew that definitely did Milkshake.
Yeah, so Milkshake or Holla Back Girl. And you know what? Pause you real quick. I almost did Holla Back Girl versus Glamorous by Fergie. Ooh. Only because around that time Fergie and Gwen Stefani and like Nelly Furtado and all them, Timbaland and Pharrell produced Heavy with them. Mm-hmm. So I almost did something with them. But I was like, let me do Milkshake and Holla Back Girl. So Milkshake or Holla Back Girl?
Milkshake.
Milkshake? Why?
It was the impact of that joint. Like, that joint went crazy when it came out. Commercial and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was watching the video, too.
It's a commercial now.
Yeah. Like, that joint really went quick. I mean, both of them did, but yeah, Milkshake was that joint. We were singing that at school. Mm-hmm. We need to be.
I was singing both of them shits, and Milkshake and Holla Back Girl. Okay. Yeah, good. Yeah, I think, so for me, like, Pharrell is one of my favorite producers, and Timbaland, for sure.
Yes.
Like, but Pharrell, he's a really good writer, too. Like, he's a very good writer.
Mm-hmm. I just want to see how the hell he come up with them beats he be making. I got to sit down with him one day.
Yeah. How did you start with producing? Do you write as well, or what is your process like?
Well, I don't write yet. I'm getting into writing. But production, I mean, I started when I was a kid. I used to be in the studio with my dad all the time.
Okay.
From like the age of 4 to like 7.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's how long he was consistently trying to do music. But then he had me young, too. So he was still young.
Oh, really?
You know, trying to provide for me and mm-hmm. all of that. So the fast money was the fast money, and that's what was feeding me. the music was, of
course.
What's the fast money?
What are you doing for the fast money? Go ahead and do what you got to do.
Well, you got to get it how you live.
It's all good. It's all good.
We ain't going to go too in depth, but, you know. But yeah, you know, because with musical, with a lot of different careers, you got to be patient as fuck. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, I was always in the studio with him, and I just remember that atmosphere and that, like, walking in the studio and the walls was painted black. Then it was signatures all over the walls. Then I walk in the booth, and then something would happen with my ears. And I remember that as a kid. So then growing up, I was like 13 or 14, and I was like, Dad, I think I want to make beats. I didn't even really know what I was saying. But he believed me. And he got so excited. And then he started buying keyboards and shit. I was like, damn, he's like. But then that's when I was like, yeah, I want to do this. And that's just when I started doing it. So, yeah, I started then, started playing the keys. But then you're asking about my process, right?
But so you play instruments?
Yeah, I play the keys.
Okay.
I play the keys for sure. I went to school for music, business, and technology, but I was in a jazz ensemble.
So. Where?
In Charlotte, North Carolina. Okay. At Johnson C. Smith.
Okay.
So I graduated from there in 2018. But yeah, you know, like a lot of people are like classically trained on the piano, so, but I'm more so jazz trained. And
okay.
I love jazz.
What's the difference between classically trained and jazz trained?
Classical, man, I feel like that shit is more like in depth. Like, you know, you hear like, you know, Mozart and Bach and it's all of that. You know what I mean? But I'm more so like Herbie Hancock, and, you know what I mean? Like jazz. So I was like jazz trained, and yeah. And from there, we're here.
So like, how do you how do you come up with the songs? And like, do you collab with the artist, or like, do you tell them what? Because do you write?
No, not really. Not yet. I don't write much. It's hard for me to come up with the words for some reason.
So what do you do? So you come up with the beat, of course.
Yeah.
So you just give the beat to the artist, or do you tell them what you want them to write to, or like, what do you come up with, like a harmony, or like, how does that come about?
You know what's crazy? And this is how I can tell that this is a special gift that I have, because most of the time I make the beat on my own. But with a lot of these beats, even on this album, it's like I spoke through the artist through the music, which was crazy as hell. It's a track on the album, the last track called This Moment. And I made that beat, and I was like, oh, this feels amazing. And when I presented it to the artist, what they wrote is how I was feeling. Like, she talked about this moment. I've been waiting my life for this moment, and that's how I feel. And I'm like, damn, it's crazy how I can speak to them through the music. And most of the time, that's just really how it happens. They hear the beat, and they feel where I'm coming from, and that inspires them to, that's a true collaboration. It inspires them to write to what they're feeling from the beat, from what I created and presented to them.
Yeah, I really love On My Block. That's my shit.
Yeah.
That's my shit. I love all the songs on the project. Like, are you really, you're really into R&B and melodic, and that's what that's what I get from you.
Yeah.
So you're more so towards that.
I love R&B and soul. Love R&B and soul. Jill Scott, Flowetry, Donnell Jones, Music Soul Child, all of that. I love that. And I grew up on that. Erykah Badu, I grew up on all of that. That's like my heart right there.
Who would you want to work with? Like, who are some artists that you haven't worked with yet and that you want to work with?
Oh, a lot. Like, locally or like?
Locally and mainstream.
Oh, so many. What? Let's start with locally. I want to work with like Fat Trail, Ari Lennox for sure, OMG. I gotta tap in with her because I feel like we would mesh so well. So well.
That would be dope. Yeah. Ari Lennox and Brown Sugar situation.
What? That'd be crazy. I can't wait for that moment. Yeah, that's gonna be crazy. Industry, man, everybody. It's hard to pick.
So you said that Pharrell is your favorite producer?
He is one of
like, my favorite. So what about Pharrell, and like, what about other people that inspired you? Like, what is it about those people? Like, what did you like
it's
grab toward?
And well, for me, I love percussion instruments a lot, and he does too. So that's what gravitates me towards, because he'd be like, damn, his percussions is crazy. The samples he choose, he just has his own unique style. And then I also do too myself. So that's why I gravitate towards him too, because it's like he got his own shit going on. I do as well. It's like I'm one of them producers that got my own sound and my own thing going on. So it's like he motivates the hell out of me, for real, for real. But yeah, his sound is crazy. His ear is crazy. And then, of course, like you said, he writes. So, yeah, he's on another.
So, have you ever tried writing, or you just?
I have. I definitely have. I'm too shy to put it out.
Oh, so you have something that you wrote?
I do have something.
Did you record it, or you have someone that you, that recorded,
I recorded
it for?
It myself.
Did you sing it, or did you rap it?
I sung it.
You sung it. Do you have it on you?
No, of course not.
You don't?
No.
You sure?
I'm positive, girl. That thing is on the computer in the house. Ain't nobody gonna be able to hear that one.
So, okay, so how is it? Because, you know, we don't often see a lot of, you know, you can keep it on if you want to. We don't often see a lot of female producers and things like that, you know. You know, how is it, you know, did you face any challenges in certain creative spaces being a woman, being a producer, you know, just being the lead on a project and things like that, or just cultivating your own sound? Did you have any like difficulties with that, or any pushback, or
not necessarily with the project, because everybody that's on here are artists that I've already known for a little bit of time, so they already, you know, knew what I was capable of, and then it made it easy because they trusted my vision already, because I knew them. But hell yeah, throughout my career, like even when I came home in 2018 and experiment with different studios, hell yeah, niggas is like, first they're not used to seeing a female producer, so most of the time they're like, oh, okay, like I'm interested in what she got, because I ain't never really seen a female come through. But then some niggas, like, you know, they try to man up on you and
really,
oh yeah, don't want to listen to what you got to say, don't value your opinion, try to talk over you, this and that. But I'm the type, I'm not letting that shit go down. Like, we not about to do that. Like, I'm gonna speak up for myself. You know what I mean? But then I'm also comfortable being in a room full of niggas. Like, I'm just that girl. Like, I'm comfortable. I'm cool.
Do you have a lot of brothers?
I'm the only child. I have no siblings. But, like, even with my family, like, I'm always hanging around the guys and stuff. That's how I am. Because the guys is cool. Like, I feel like it'd be so much drama with us women.
Yeah. It's really the truth. It's sad. It's a sad truth. Very true. Very true.
I'm hanging with the guys because they be chilling. You know what I mean?
But you know what? Side note. What you're saying is true, but you know, dudes can be a little bit messier than women. Sometimes they can be a little bit messier than women.
They can at times.
At times. But yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, so, I've had moments when I had to put a nigga in his place.
So you had to, like, has anything, like, heated ever happened, or you just?
A little bit.
I hate that you had to go through that. Just because you're a woman that happened to you?
Yeah, I did. I did, and they're probably not used to working with women producers. Like, you still have women artists as well too, but yeah, at one time I had to really, like, it was a guy that came in with an artist, and I was in the studio with my cousin. He was rapping, and I had to beat for him.
For your cousin?
For my cousin. But the guy that came in with the artist, like, my cousin invited them.
Okay.
So it was a young rapper. He was very young, so he's still, like, experimenting. But he wanted to throw him on a song. So I'm like, you know, whatever, that's cool, da da da. But he wasn't really delivering. You know, I'm like, listen, this is my beat. We got to deliver because we putting out. For me, it's like, it's always about quality. So I'm like, it's cool. He learning, but it ain't really da da da. But I guess that was his manager. He was just like, trying to dictate too much shit
on your beat.
Yeah, and I was like, I had to break it down. So I'm like, I don't think you understand. I'm the producer,
right,
in the room. Like, I get what you're trying to do, but it ain't sonically. It's not working.
Right.
And I had to say, because it really wasn't working. I'm like, we can try, but it's not working. So we're gonna have to make it do what it do. It's just not working. We're gonna have to take them off. But he just wasn't feeling that. He was like, well, nah. You don't talk to my audience. You talk to your cousin.
And so this is someone. This is someone that your cousin invited just to come along.
Yeah,
It wasn't even.
I was like, listen, it was. You know, I just had to really break it down to him. Like, look, I'm the producer in the room. If it's not for the beat, it's an acapella. It's not a song. So I need you to, like, just, you know, put your pride to the side. Because that's what it be. Niggas don't know how to, like, take advice from a woman and shit. Like, niggas be having that ego. His ego took over, but I had to shut that shit down. Then he real life went in the corner and sat down, and they say shit for the rest of the session.
They stayed there, too.
Yeah, and he said, I had to really do that. I didn't want to really get like that, but I had to let him know, like, nah, this is not what this is. Because I can right now say we not putting it out.
Right. Because it's your shit.
Yeah. And I had to do that. I said, listen, we cutting it. It's not working. We got to take them off. It's just not going to work. He just didn't like how I was the one that had to say so. But it's like, I ain't want to have to come across like that. But you brought it out of me. Like, I'm always going to be cool and chill. But you ain't know how to approach me. So then that just triggered something in me. You know, I'm a bull. I'm a Taurus. Mm-hmm. Like, you triggered me.
Yeah.
So now I got to boss up on a nigga.
Right.
And you really ain't going to like
it. And that you, and honestly, like, you want to put all your energy towards creating. You don't want to put your energy towards having to, like, you know what I'm saying, combat, argue, and fight. You know what I'm saying? You want to have that energy towards your art.
Right.
Especially in the studio.
Right.
So, like, do you record other artists too? Like, how do you, in the meantime, you know, between projects and stuff, how do you usually, like, you know, exercise, you know, your skills and creativity? Do you engineer?
Not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I used to, especially in college, like, my home dorm room was a damn recording studio. I used to engineer, mix, and master the song, put it out. But engineering is not really my heart like producing is. Mm-hmm. It goes hand in hand for sure, but I feel like you got to focus on something to master. And I'm still mastering production. And
okay.
Like, I want to focus fully on production and allow the engineers to engineer. You know, mm-hmm. So I strictly produce. I love doing production sessions with artists to create the beats too, because I feel like that's really where the vibe come from. Like, I can always make the beat for you at home, but let's link up together and let's create what you want and that sound you looking for.
Do you collab with other producers?
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that too. Yeah.
Like who?
I got a guy, top producer. That's my main guy. I be collabing with.
Mm-hmm. Was he on this project?
No, he wasn't on this project.
This was all you?
This was all me.
Mm-hmm.
One beat, the first beat, Definition 2, with mm-hmm. E-Class, my guy Easy Tapes, I collabed with him on that one. So mm-hmm. I did all the sounds, and he did all the drums. Because mm-hmm. his drums and 808s be hitting.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Easy Tapes. So that was the only beat that I collabed with a producer on. Everything else was strictly me as far as production.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I love collabing because, like, you always learn something from the producer, mm-hmm. the other producers. Like, everybody got their own methods to how they do things. Everybody use their own softwares and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always open to learning. You know what I mean? You got. Mm-hmm. I feel like you got to be open to, like, wanting to try new things when you collabing with different producers, because you don't mm-hmm. really want to be, like, stuck in your ways with mm-hmm. collabing. You want to just be open and just learn, and you could teach them something too.
I love that you said that, because I feel the same way about when people, like, say, oh, you didn't write this by yourself. You had help. But it's like, what's wrong with that?
Yeah. It's a collaborative effort. And even that goes back to what I was saying about engineering. Like, when you look at all these industry songs and artists and
mm-hmm.
whatever their team, when you go to the credits, it's a tracking engineer. It's mm-hmm. a mixing engineer. It's a mastering engineer. It's a co-producer, executive producer. You know, it's all, everybody has a job. Everybody plays their part. So mm-hmm. that's why I'm like, I don't feel like I want to try to do too much, because eventually I'm going to have a team mm-hmm. and everybody going to play their part, and it's going to make everything come together.
Would you ever start a label? Like, do you see yourself ever, like, down the line, do you ever see yourself starting a label and, like, signing artists and things like that? Like, how do you see yourself carrying out your career?
That's a good question. I do. I have a, it's not like a real label, but it's called No Ordinary Records.
Okay, what you mean? It's a label. Okay, if you want to be a label, it's a label.
Like the LLC, yeah. Mm-hmm. But okay. No Ordinary is this umbrella. So
okay.
It's like No Ordinary Apparel, No Ordinary Videography, mm-hmm. No Ordinary Records.
Like a creative agency, basically.
Yeah, all of it. Like Brown Sugar Productions is underneath of that.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, I do see myself having a label.
Mm-hmm.
I do, down the line. Yeah, because it'd be a lot of fire-ass artists that I'd be seeing online. I'd be mm-hmm. like, damn, I signed them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, on some so-so deaf shit.
Oh, my God.
I was just watching Jermaine last night, by the way.
On what?
On Hulu.
Because he has an what?
It's a documentary, but it says season 1, episode 1. But
what was the documentary?
It's a so-so deaf documentary.
Oh, for real, on Hulu?
Yeah.
Because I've been watching the Rap Caviar joints they got out.
I've been on that one too. Mm-hmm. But no, this one is strictly a Jermaine Dupri so-so deaf joint.
And isn't he producing the Freak Nick joint?
I think so.
And like all the aunties is like kind of nervous, like, oh, they kind of nervous.
So.
They kind of nervous. Oh, Lord, no.
I think so. I know he just dropped that joint with Currency.
Yeah. I need to watch their interview on The Breakfast Club. I didn't finish watching that yet.
That's so
but So how many projects do you have out right now? Because when did you start, like, professionally putting out your work?
Mm-hmm. 2018, when I graduated from college and came home. The first project was Trapped in the Days, Volume 1. Mm-hmm. But that was a beat tape. So
that's, it was, you said it's a beat tape?
Yeah, it was a beat tape.
A beat tape, okay.
Just all beats on it.
Okay.
Just no artists, it was just all beats. But yeah, I felt like I was ready to jump into my career and just start doing something. So that's why I called it Trapped in the Days, because I just locked myself in to my craft.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had detoxed my body for the first time and started meditating and just locked in. And I learned so much about myself creatively.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, when you listen to that project and even Volume 2, each beat has a different part of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that was the first one I dropped. Then I dropped a single called Neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
So fire.
And who's like, on that one?
It's just an instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
Trapped in the Days Volume 2, what I just dropped, this is the first project with all songs on it.
Mm-hmm.
So Neighbors was a single. And then after that, I dropped this another beat tape called Sugar Print.
Mm-hmm.
And then, damn, yeah, I be dropping shit. Now think about it, I got a whole little collection going mm-hmm. on. And then I dropped a project called Seasonal Love Language. I was on my sexy shit on that.
Okay, and this is a beat tape.
This was a beat tape. So it had one song on it,
mm-hmm.
Holidays in Rio with T-Lyric. Mm-hmm. Shout out to T-Lyric. And that joint ended up getting on the radio with Bacon Bear.
Okay.
This was last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, this was last year. So that was huge. I was mm-hmm. like, oh, shit, we on the radio with Bacon Bear, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that came Trapped in the Days Volume 2.
I really enjoy this project. Like, you really put your foot in it.
I did. Thank
so
you.
So obviously, but I'm gonna just ask you anyway. So how did you come up with the name Brown Sugar? And why did you want that to be your professional name?
Ooh, great question. Okay, so when I was a kid, my great aunt, Aunt Gladys,
You had a great aunt?
Great aunt.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wish I knew my great aunts. Go ahead.
She used to call me that. She used to be on the phone with my
She was your great aunt or your grand aunt?
Great aunt.
Oh.
She was my great aunt.
Okay.
Yeah. And she used to call me that. She would be on the phone with my grandma. She would be like, tell Brown Sugar I said hey. You know, and I was a kid, but mm-hmm. I don't know why they called me that.
Mm-hmm. You had the locks when you were little too?
No. Mm-hmm. No. But I guess it was my complexion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But she always called me that. Then one day when I was like 12, 13. No, it was around 13 when I started making beats. She was on the phone with my grandma again. She was like, tell Brown Sugar I said hey. And I was like, ooh, mm-hmm. I'm going to use that. Mm-hmm. That's fire, Brown Sugar.
Mm-hmm. What was your name before? You was going to go by Deshaun?
I had no name for real. That's mm-hmm. that. I was just trying to make the beats. I was just trying to learn how to, and I taught myself everything, so mm-hmm. it was tedious. I was trying to learn what the fuck a metronome was.
I don't know what the hell they are.
The littlest things. I just was trying to just learn experiments. I wasn't even thinking about a name. I didn't even think about a name. I was just trying to just figure out what production was or what a producer was, because at the time I didn't really, really know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just on YouTube every damn day.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when I heard her, when it just triggered and clicked, I was like, damn. Okay, yeah, I'm really about to take this producer shit serious, and mm-hmm. my name going to be Brown Sugar.
Brown Sugar Productions.
Brown Sugar Productions.
What made you spell it that way with the apostrophe? You just had to stylize it?
Because my real name has one.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Deshaun is D-A apostrophe. Okay. S-H-A-W-N. Yup.
Okay.
So I kept the apostrophe just to keep it, yeah.
So would you,
different.
So how would you, like how would you, so have you ever performed live before?
Or like playing live?
Yeah, like, have you ever done anything live? Because, like, how does that usually work when it comes to producers? Like, because we know with someone like DJ Khaled, like, you know, when he does his live stuff, like, he'll bring out people, or he'll just, like, just be on stage, just, like, hyping up the crowd with his music and stuff. Like, would you ever, like, do something like that? Or have you ever performed? Or, like, how do you plan on, like, spreading your music? Because, you know, you got to spread it. You make really good music. Like, how do you do that? How do you plan to, like, really, like, perform?
I do want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
With the arts, but I'm shy.
I'm shy too. People don't realize I'm shy as fuck. Like, I'm shy right now, but it's just like, I just do it.
I don't know. Stage fright. I'm like, damn, like, even if I do the show, I might just want to be like
in the corner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm going to really want to be on stage with the artists, but I know they're going to be like, no, come up here. I'm going to have a lot of liquor in my system. It's just loosen up. Because, yeah, I got stage fright. I ain't going to lie. I'm shy and all of that.
So how did you, again, I can't say this enough. I love the project.
Thank you.
How did you handpick the artist for the project? We can go down the line from top to bottom if you want to. Like, how did you, you know, come along? How did you bring everyone together for this and why?
This is great. Okay.
Because the DMV has really, really talented, like, really, really, very, very talented singers and rappers and artists and things like that. So I just want to know, like, how did you really just, like, bring everybody together and why did you pick who you picked?
Great question. So majority of the artists, again, I had already built relationships with them prior to the project.
Like who?
Like LB, 1990X, like Frank Blunt, like Lay, like Louie, the On My Block
joke. I love him. I need to meet him. I love him. So I love his shit. I do. I love his voice. No, seriously, I love, I you know what? The thing is, like, I love a good voice.
Yeah.
Like, you can rap or whatever, cool, but, like, your voice has to, like, really, like, move me. Mm-hmm. I really love his voice.
Yeah, Louis, that nigga. Shout out Louis Bass, man. Louis, that nigga. Yeah, like, I connected with these guys a couple years ago. Asa Weeks, Nola. The only two artists on the project that I hadn't connected with, that I hadn't, like, known or did music with that long was E-Class and Autumn LaBella. They were like the two artists that, this is like our first time really doing music together. But I was researching and I was like, I need an R&B female singer. And I'm like, who? And I was just trying to think.
I like Jemani too.
Oh yeah, Jemani Love. Yeah, I love her. And then she's so young.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've known her for a while. But oh my God, her voice for me. Her voice is amazing. And then her pen, and for her to be so young. Like, when I met her, how old was she? I think when I met her, she was maybe 17. I was like, you 17? I didn't know she was that young. I was like, you are so freaking talented.
How'd you meet her?
Her brother, Money James. Shout out Money James. He
he's a producer too.
He sings and he engineers. He has a little studio in his basement, but one time when I was working for Rue Pratt, do you know Rue Pratt? I was working on her management team, and she had a photo shoot to do. She had an interview with Just Justice.
I know her too.
Yep, she had an interview with her in the basement in Money James. Like, he got a whole little setup down there. And, you know, I took her there, and we were there, and I was talking to Money James, and I started playing the beats, and then he was really impressed with my beats and stuff. And then that's just how I met him. And then I did a photo shoot of my own there. Went back, did a photo shoot, talked to him some more, then played him a bunch of beats. And then that's when Jemani came down. She came down when I was just finishing playing beats. And he just was like, I think y'all will really mesh with this music because your R&B beats are knocking.
And she has a beautiful voice.
She has. She does. So I came back, played her some stuff, and then heard her shit. And I was like, oh, my God, we got to do something. So that's when we did one song that she put out on her project, and then I doubled back, and then we did this one. I was like, I need you on this project.
So you produced a song on her project?
Yep, on hers, and then invited her to come along for this project as well. So yeah, it was like, other than Jemani, I was like, who's this other? I need another female singer, vocalist to just deliver how I need them to deliver on this beat. So I came across Autumn. And we were already following each other. So I was like, oh, shit. Like, I don't remember where I met her at or anything. But I was like, wow, wait. She might be able to. Because I realized she rapped and sang. And I was like, oh, yeah, she fire. So, you know, I connected with her. I told her about the project. I sent her the beat. She loved the beat. Like, she was like, I love this shit. And then she completely delivered how I just expected an artist delivery. It was crazy. I was like, this is perfect. Like, this shit really came together. But that was the thing for the album. I was like, listen, I'm going to reach out to a lot of artists that I know. If they fuck with me, they do. If they don't, they don't. I won't be mad. I'm just going to move on. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't want to just be like, I want this artist and I'm just going to, if I don't get this artist, I'm just going to be mad. Like, no, I was like, I really want this artist. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to follow up. But if it don't happen, it just means it's just not meant right now. And that's the energy I had with the album. So that's why
I like that energy. Like, how do you, because, you know, some people get upset when they don't get what they want out of people. And, you know, sometimes, I just feel like sometimes people just want to work people because it'll help them mm-hmm. with their situation. Yeah. But they don't really see, like, the, you know, things need to be genuine, I feel like.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you feel about things being, how do you feel about things needing to be genuine?
I think that's extremely important.
Especially when you're creating, right?
Especially when you're creating. Mm-hmm. That is so fucking important. It has to be. You don't want to pressure nothing because it's creativity. Mm-hmm. You don't want to block no creativities by pressuring anything.
Yeah.
Like, but I was so glad that I came with that mentality
mm-hmm.
of just, like, letting whatever happen and it's meant to happen, happen.
And you don't have any ill will towards anyone. It's just not the time right now.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's how I look. I said, all right.
Okay.
It's just not. I mean, then there was people that, it was some artists that was being difficult with my vision.
Like, what do you mean? There was.
Like, I would give them the vision of what I seen for the beat and for the track.
Mm-hmm.
And they just was, I guess they didn't see it. And they were like difficult. Like, well, I don't think that'll work. I don't see that. Da, da, da. And it's like, okay, that's cool.
It's
like,
your project.
You could at least approach it as if, all right, let's try to sit down and figure it out. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what I mean? But it was like, they were straight up coming across. Well, I'm just really referring to one person.
Okay. And this, they are they on the project? Or,
no.
Okay.
Because I was like, okay.
And
like,
is it a man?
Yes.
Aww.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, you know, I wasn't expecting him to really be seem so difficult. Mm-hmm. I'm like, damn, we ain't even booked the session yet. I'm just telling you the vision for the beat. Like, but he was very difficult with that. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I'm cool. I'm going to move on because it ain't got to be like this. Like, we could definitely sit down and figure it out, of course. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to be the one that just, I mean, but it is my album, though. So I do have the vision, but it's like, I'm willing to hear what you got to say, too. I ain't going to be an asshole about it. But it was like, you just was like totally against the vision. Like, you, I'm like, you should. Really, with me, when I have a vision, that shit comes together. Like, whether you see it that, at that point or not, like, trust me. That's what I be trying to say.
It's your project. It's your project.
Yeah.
Okay, so I had a fave moment of the project, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I don't know if you would call it, like, an interlude situation or not. But there was like a spoken word section called "Don't Trust Niggas," and you know, just it was just about what's the young lady's name?
Mary Mance.
Mary Mance.
Shout out to Mary.
I like her energy. I like her energy, and I love how you know, I was just talking about this earlier when I was recording my other episode. I was saying, you know, I love how women have standards, and we are very expressive about our standards. Mm-hmm. What made you wanna put that on the project? What made you reach out to her? What made you come? You know, what made you, you know, get that together?
That's crazy because I met her a couple years ago
mm-hmm.
through my whole Muay Thai producer that I'm telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
But she is popping mm-hmm. with her poetry. I went to go see her last night too at Bus Boys and Poets mm-hmm. in Hyattsville.
Uh-huh.
She is growing tremendously. And her exposure is growing a lot. And for me, from a marketing standpoint, mm-hmm. it's just like, I was like, let's do something. Because mm-hmm. I see you working, girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, again, I love jazz and stuff. So in that one, I was just playing the piano and I was freestyling.
Mm-hmm.
And I love poetry anyway and spoken word. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I see you popping. I want to have a track like this on the project that shows off my piano skills
mm-hmm.
and just straight jazzy and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I just was like, let's do it. She was like, hell yeah, what? Of course, let's do it. And mm-hmm. this was her first time actually getting in the booth, so that was exciting for her. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that just, you know, I wanted that to show like versatility with the album. Like, mm-hmm. I wanted it to be just a flow of just different vibes. Mm-hmm. And that one really, really came together. So shout out to Mary Mann.
Do you really relate to her poem? Do you, how do you feel about that?
I do.
Don't trust niggas.
Don't trust niggas. You gotta, yeah.
So speaking of niggas, you had some sort of like side nigga sign up sheet or something like that. What happened so what was going on with that? You had like a side nigga like auditions or sign up sheets or something like that.
Inquiries,
something. Consultations.
$175 an hour.
Uh huh.
Book with me. I have all the answers for you.
So what's with these side niggas? So what's going on with the side niggas? What's going on? Like, what's going on?
It's so much.
It's consultations for it's for them to sign up to be your side nigga, or for women to get advice.
It's for women to get advice
for their side niggas.
Uh huh. Yeah. So you can learn how to keep a side nigga.
Uh huh.
Learn how to not do too much, like keep him in the side nigga zone.
Uh-huh.
Like he's not a husband, babe.
Uh-huh.
Not about to be cooking fried chicken and stuff every night. Absolutely not. If he gonna be a side nigga, he gonna be a side nigga.
And if he gonna show more,
it's gonna be what it gotta be. But don't do too much.
And don't take in no strays now.
And then be mad when shit don't go your way.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you doing too much.
Mm-hmm.
Side nigga consultations. So,
do you trust men? Like, how do you feel about the batch of men in our generation right now? I'm just curious.
I think it's hard to trust.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, man. I feel like these niggas, they don't want to put in no work no more. They don't want to court you no more. They just, it's like, damn, y'all niggas is lazy now. Y'all don't want to do nothing.
I just feel like they are just very lackluster. I feel like nowadays, like a lot of the niggas nowadays, like we're their come up, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have our shit together, and it's like, you know, we kind of like save them. No.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And that'd be the problem. Like, I remember I was dating this one guy and I loved him so much, and I brought him around my family, and they were like, you can do better. Real shit. They was like, you can do better than that.
So what was it? Was it the looks? Was it the vibe? You know, people can, family vibe. And friends can like catch things that you can.
Yeah, I think it was his vibe. And it was just like, they were like, you got a lot going on with your music and stuff. You are a businesswoman. You are just like, you need somebody that's going to match your fly. You don't need to be sitting around nobody that ain't doing nothing but smoking weed the whole, like, he was smoking the whole
This needs
damn
to be one of your interludes for your next project.
Yeah, it was like, you know, they was just like, you can do better than that. And then for us, it'd be like, we see the potential in the game.
Yeah,
so
I just said this. I said that we see the potential. We're very understanding. We lower the standard. We see the potential, and we just, you know what I'm saying? I said that.
Yeah, and that's what it was for me. I was like, but I know he's going to be great.
Was he an artist?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not a musical artist.
Oh, he was, fine art?
He had his own, like, clothing line.
Oh, okay.
So he was an entrepreneur.
That could go either way.
Yeah, it's just, you know, once they said that, it was like, yeah, they actually right. I can't keep trying to hold on to potential.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it ain't it, it ain't it. And I don't ever want my people to tell me I can do better. Like, that was low-key embarrassing. I'm like,
I've gotten that a lot, too. I've gotten that you can do better. At one time, his mother was like, I know he's my son. She said it. She was like, I know he's my son, but you can do so much better. She said that about her son.
Damn. Yeah, that's how you know it's real. When the mother say it. Like, that's her seed. That's her whole child. But she like, baby, look.
She said, that's my son. He's my son. But you could do so. Cause I thought you were about to cuss me out. I know he's my son, but you can do so much better.
That's how you know it's bad. Like, for real. That's how you know it's bad.
And you know, he was. I'm not gonna say too much, but you know, he was broke, he had no money, whatever. And she was like, you deserve somebody that gets up and goes to work every day. It was that bad.
So what was it about him that you were holding on to?
First off. I don't know. I need therapy. Maybe that's what it is. I need therapy. But the thing is, like, because I don't know. I don't really be liking these niggas that like that for real at first. But it's like they sweet talk me. It's like the talk and then it's the words for me.
That's what it means.
The words for me. And, you know, I like, to, you know, I have my own place. I have a lot going on for myself by myself on my own without anyone. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's the potential, you know, that I'm a creative. And I'm really attracted to other creatives, especially if you're in music. I don't know. I've been dabbling with different music niggas. I don't know why I find myself involved with myself. I don't know why. I don't know what's going on with me. But But yeah, it was the sweet talk and it was the potential. And you know, so a lot of times, you know, when you have a lot going on and the guy doesn't, you have to really have discernment and know whether they are using you for a come up or not. Or using you for somewhere to stay or not, or using you for, you know what I'm saying? Using you.
Yeah.
For survival type thing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, I've been done dirty in the past for sure before. Yeah.
But you're so right. Niggas.
You can't trust nobody. Yeah.
Game.
Mm-hmm.
Niggas, that's what it be for a lot of women. That wordplay.
It's the wordplay.
That's what it
and
be.
It don't have no good dick now. Oh shit.
You said it don't
have no good dick and then be in, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, right. Cook. Like for real. And you know what I noticed too in the past when I was younger, like
drink some more wine. You ain't been drinking, you ain't been sipping. Drink some more wine. You have I ain't been seeing you sip nothing. I ain't seen you sip nothing.
I'm sipping, girl.
Take a couple sips. I ain't seen you.
Y'all funny. But no, listen, you know what I learned in my younger days, because I'm about to be 27 tomorrow.
Oh, you such a now look at me calling people babies now that I just turned 30. I've been 30 for 5 days. I think I'm grown. I've been 30 for 5 days. Ain't been a whole week yet. And comes, oh, you a baby? You 27? Oh, you a baby? You like, you 2 years younger than me. What the fuck?
We real close. You know what I know? And JT said this shit in one of her songs.
Uh-oh.
It be the brokest niggas that be having the best dick.
Bro.
That shit is crazy. I've dealt with that shit before.
Yeah.
Dead broke. Shit else
dead broke.
But that.
And it's just like, the thing is like, you find yourself rationalizing why you need to stay with them. Like, it's like, what the fuck am I thinking? Whoa,
like,
whoa.
Like, they ain't got nothing else to offer.
Don't got nothing else to offer. And then found their way into your home. And now they in your house. Now they live with you now.
But I realized the sex is so good because they ain't got shit else to offer. Like, that's it. Like, that's all they got for you. So it's like, shit, why you better deliver in that area at least. But that should be sad, though. And I dealt with that shit before.
Oh, girl, I dealt with that shit before, too.
I gotta let this go.
I had a situation where he was broke, ain't had shit, but then some shit went left. And, like, I was so pissed that I, like, stuck around and he did me dirty. Long story short, I ended up getting arrested. We both got arrested because he made me hit my breaking point.
Y'all fault. Somebody threw something. It went there. It got there. Ooh. Whoa.
Real bad. So now, you know, I've dealt with situations after that too, but I've told myself I'm not going to reach that point anymore because no one is worth my freedom.
Facts. Big facts. Yeah, I don't think I ever really got to that point with a nigga.
Nah, if I'm gonna tell you after we cut this off, you would probably do the same thing I did.
Oh yeah,
it was bad. The disrespect was through the roof. But yeah, anywho. Let me talk some shit on your albums. Let me talk some shit on one of your.
I love talking shit. That'll be so, because you know what? I love themes in projects and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm one of them persons. Like, if you heard the first one, shout out to DC's big homie. Me and him was having a conversation on the first one. Like, I just like themes and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we can definitely do that. Mm-hmm. I like your voice, too.
Oh, you do? Voice is fire, yeah. Oh, really? I hate my voice sometimes.
No, your voice is fire. We can do that.
Okay, bet. So what do you have planned in the future? Any more projects coming out this year? And can you please plan some sort of live performance of some sort?
I was actually talking about that last night, which is crazy. I do want to do that. Mm-hmm. I want to do that for the whole album.
Mm-hmm.
But my plan for the rest of this year is to continue to push this album. I am manifesting consistent radio play.
Okay.
I'm going to do like a little down south tour.
What, Atlanta type thing?
Yeah, go down to Raleigh, North Carolina.
Okay.
Go back to Charlotte.
Okay.
Atlanta.
You still got folks out there in North Carolina?
I do.
Okay.
I got a lot of family down there for sure. Hit Florida. and then come back home and then probably go up north too, up to Philly and New York. But just pushing the album, getting that out is the main focus for this year. Then I do want to drop another single over the summertime. I have an artist in mind, but we're going to keep it secret for right now.
Okay. Is it a girl or boy?
It's a girl. And okay. She's fire. And she's local.
Do we know her?
I think you know her. You probably do. She's really lit. She's really lit, but I'm not going to disclose it too much. But okay. She's really, really lit. But we've been talking, and I want to do a single with her just for some summer shit, just some okay. shit.
Some like, vibes and stuff.
Yeah.
Have you done any videos yet? Any music videos?
We're going to do a video to On My Block.
Oh.
Yes.
Do you need an extra?
We're going to figure out the thing, boo. We're going to figure out the thing. We might need to call you, though, because you love that junk so much.
I want to be in the background or something. Let me be an extra. Right. Let me be an extra. Right shit. Let me be an extra. For real. Don't dead ass. I'll be an extra for real quick.
Yeah, we're figuring out the things and stuff now, but I'm going to keep you in mind. Mm-hmm. Because you love it so much, it's only right to bring you.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay, bet.
And we're going to call, you know, it's On My Block, so we're going to call out a bunch of people, mm-hmm. pull up for, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's going to be a whole little thing like that, too. So, yeah.
How was the album release party?
Oh, my God. It was so lit. Wow.
It was at the vault, right?
It was at vault. Mm-hmm. It was so amazing. This was a huge milestone in my career. I had about 100 people pull up, and that's a lot for me. That's a lot. Almost all the artists came, and if they didn't come, that mean they had a show or something mm-hmm. like that. But everybody was there. Everybody was happy. It was great vibes. I cried. It was a moment where I cried. We got spiritual. We talked about God for a minute. Mm-hmm. It was all of that, but I will never forget that day. That was a huge day in my career. And I'm still on a high horse from that. I ain't gonna lie. That was about a month ago, but I'm still on a high horse from that.
And you made a top producer list for DMV recently, too.
Oh, yeah.
How did that feel?
That felt great. Shout out to Made in DMV. Mm-hmm. I think I was the only female on that list.
Mm.
Yeah. I think I was the only. I know I was the only one in the picture for sure. Mm-hmm. But that list, I think I was the only female on that list. Mm-hmm. And that's huge for me. That is so mm-hmm. huge. That's so huge because there are other female producers out here, of course, but this is a really male-dominated industry. And I feel like my brand represent women, but it's, you know, representing women to be bold and to mm-hmm. thrive in the industry. And I feel like that's what I do, and that's what God called me to do. And I feel like it's happening. Mm-hmm. It's really happening. And so I'm grateful for that. That was huge. Shout out to Made in DMV for that.
Yeah, shout out to Made in DMV. Yeah, but thank you so much for joining us. I really had a good time speaking with you. Did you want to tell everyone where to find you again, and also like what to look out for? You said you have some stuff coming.
Yes, we got some videos coming and all that for Trapped in the Days Volume 2, the album. But make mm-hmm. sure you keep streaming it, listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be on the radio real soon. We are manifesting that, and it's mm-hmm. gonna happen. So,
and even if it's not on the radio, honestly, like, you know, I know that's a goal for a lot of y'all, mm-hmm. but you know, building like a nice cult, like a cult following, mm-hmm. will take you far too. Like, you don't even need radio play a lot of times. You know what I'm saying? You don't need radio play, you know, all the time. You know what I mean? So it's like,
but you know why I say radio play?
Why?
Because that's where the money come from.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We need okay. that bag.
Okay.
At this point,
okay,
we need the money.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely
and
right.
Once it really branches out, at least locally, then people gonna fuck with it regardless. Mm-hmm. Like On My Block, people are fucking with that. Gang, people are fucking mm-hmm. with that
joke.
So it's like once the world hears it, it's like it's just gonna spread, and then that bag gonna come in, and mm-hmm. our lives is gonna change.
Yeah.
That's all how right. I look at that. So yeah, follow me, brownsugarprod_ on Instagram. Visit my website, brownsugarprod.com, and stay in touch with me. Thank all you for right. having me.
Cool. Thank you for coming. You guys can follow her the podcast on all podcast streaming platforms. HER POSHVD the podcast. And we out. Bye.